What's up, y'all? Welcome to Sports Medicine Broadcast, episode 47. Who needs physical therapy anyways? For March 27th, 2013. And that's probably incorrect. I bet my wife is listening and she's going to say, you're not supposed to say anyways. I think it's anyway. Either way, I just said it. So it's done. All right. So our special guest for today is Dr. Amber Lowe. She is with us on Skype. She has actually taken time out of her patient schedule to talk with us today. Of course, I'm your host, Jeremy Jackson. Over here on the Ustream is Crystal, but her mic isn't working. I was testing it out today. Running Skype is
Daisy,
Kaylin,
Susie,
Monica,
Leslie,
Priscilla.
And then we got other people doing other jobs. Lodi's taking pictures. Karen's listening on the other channel to make sure we're sounding all good. Do you want to join the conversation? Todaysmeet.com/sportsmedicinebroadcast or the Ustream social feature. Or if you go to sportsmedicinebroadcast.com, then it has the listen live on there and has the chat feature on there as well. Again, we do this almost every Wednesday, so you can check us out live and join in the conversation there. Real quick about Dr. Amber Lowe, she works for Cole Rehabilitation, and she is in her first year as a physical therapist for Cole Rehabilitation. And she will probably talk about this some. Maybe we can ask her some questions, but she's an avid runner, multiple marathons or half marathons and a marathon and different states and all that kind of stuff. And so we'll talk more about that in a little bit. Got it?
Good.
All right, so to warm us up real quick, I know I've talked about Financial Peace University from Dave Ramsey before. Tonight is the graduation. So we are finishing up our class of Financial Peace University tonight. And y'all remember Mr. Wilbanks came from Chick-fil-A?
Yeah.
Well, he is actually bringing Chick-fil-A dinner for my class because they're graduating Financial Peace University. So it's very cool. I'm pretty excited about that. If you're an athletic trainer and you want to get some CEUs for listening or being involved, you can do that through GHATS. Again, the information's on sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. You can check that out. All right, so you're ready for typical warm-up. Daisy, what'd you have for breakfast?
Nothing. I woke up late.
Daisy! All right. Kaylin?
I had the thing from school, the biscuit with a little chicken in it, and I had a chocolate milk.
Good.
I had the what is it called?
Nesquik.
Yeah,
Nesquik.
The good one. Yeah. Oh, it made me, it got
I'm
me
in love
really
with that
full.
Milk.
Nice.
Yeah, it got me like really, really full.
All right, Susie.
I ate the biscuit from school.
All right, good. Monica?
Tacos de chorizo.
All right.
I ate egg.
Just egg?
Yeah.
Raw?
No, I mean like cooked with like tortillas.
Okay.
And some chocolate milk.
All right, that'll work.
Nothing?
Sorry, Crystal, did you have school breakfast? All right, very cool. I had a fruit smoothie this morning that my beautiful wife made. All right, Dr. Lowe, what did you have for breakfast this morning?
Blueberry bagel and some peanut butter.
Blueberry bagel and some peanut butter. Did you put the peanut butter on the bagel or just like?
Yeah, put it on the bagel.
Nice. Nice. All right, so it wasn't last week. Last week we were on spring break. So right before spring break, we had the cauliflower crust pizza. So I think that went over real well. Everybody enjoyed that. And it's a little bit extra work to make cauliflower crust pizza, but I think it was well worth it because of the extra added nutrition facts. So, Kaylin, you remember you're red, right?
Yes.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and get to our guest.
Can you give us some background, like your hometown, your college, et cetera?
Sure. I grew up on the southwest side of Houston. There for 22 years. I was involved in basketball in middle school and high school with the homeschool team. So we traveled all around Houston, seeing all the private schools around the area. And then after high school, I wanted to do something related to sports medicine. Wasn't exactly sure. So I applied to a school in Seguin called Texas Lutheran University because they had a really good pre-med program, great sports science program, and emotion analysis lab. So I ended up going there, got my bachelor's in exercise science, kinesiology. And while there, I played basketball, ran track, and did cross country as well. So I was a little busy, but it was a great experience. My senior year of college, I decided to apply for a PT school. because I wanted to do something a little bit more than just personal training. I wanted to do something a little higher degree level. So I applied to Belmont University in Tennessee and moved there for 3 years and got my doctorate there. And then moved back here to Houston, back to the heat and humidity down here. So.
Tell us about your story of deciding on the physical therapy.
Yeah, like going into college, like I said, I really had no idea besides kind of personal training, maybe, but not really. And so as you get towards the end of your degree program and you're thinking, what am I going to do with my life? You start pondering. And so I was looking at career books and came across physical therapy. And just found that every aspect of that career path was something that I loved and enjoyed doing, you know, on a daily basis. So I went and started observation hours and just fell in love with it. Enjoyed, even though you don't get paid and, you know, you're just sitting there and watching people, I still loved it and you're always learning. So that was something that really spurred me on to pursue that as a career even further. So being involved with athletes and even just weekend warriors, I love it. And getting involved with people every day and talking with them and helping them feel better is just, it's great. Great job.
All right, so obviously there's a couple different routes for physical therapy. Kaylin wanted to ask you.
Why did you choose a doctoral program?
Yeah, well, physical therapy, it initially began as a bachelor program. So after you just went to undergrad, you were able to just go straight into pretty much any area of physical therapy. And then it transitioned to a master's. So right now there's programs with master's and doctoral programs. I chose a doctoral program because of the direction that the career is taking. For example, in a couple states, there's direct access, which means that patients can go directly to a physical therapist and receive treatment. In opposition to that, in Texas, patients, like if they tear their ACL or, dislocate their shoulder, they have to go to a doctor first and get a prescription to come see a therapist. So what the doctoral program does is it allows more states to be able to progress to that direct access. And the doctoral degree allows therapists to have more experience in other diagnoses besides just musculoskeletal. We look at kind of the whole system and see if we need to refer to other doctors or whatnot. So it just gives you a more broad spectrum of an education.
What are the best and worst parts of being a PT?
The best part is when your patient comes in and says, I'm feeling better. And you're like, yes, okay, I did it. So that's one of the best parts. And also getting involved just in people's lives as you see them every day, learning about their stories. It's really cool because you never know who you're going to meet on a daily basis. The worst part is probably, you know, when you feel like you can't fix this person. But the cool thing is there's a lot of interconnection with doctors that we're able to just refer them out and say, you know, hey, we're showing we can't fix you, but we can send you on to a different way to hopefully get you feeling better. So,
what should someone know before getting into physical therapy?
As a career?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of work, but it is well worth it. You have to get your observation hours, and the more the better. The more experience you have before you go into school, the better able you are to kind of understand what you're learning in school and the more things you can apply in the clinic later on even. So just know it's a lot of work, but if you love anatomy, if you love exercise and interacting with people on a daily basis, it's something that is well worth the effort and time.
All right, so you said as many observation hours as you can beforehand. Does your clinic allow just say high school students that are interested in physical therapy to come and observe for the day?
Yes. All you have to do is give us a call, let us know, and talk to the director, and it should be good to go. We love having observers that just want to ask any questions. We've had a couple people come in that were like daughters or sons of patients, and were just sat down and talked to us for 15, 20 minutes just about physical therapy because they were potentially looking into it. So it's definitely an option here at this clinic and multiple other ones throughout Houston as well.
What can you tell us about kinesiotaping?
Kinesiotaping. It's colorful. No, we use it here in the clinic for things like patellar tracking, which is your kneecap. If it's kind of not moving the right direction, we can use the taping method to help pull it into kind of a more medial alignment. We've seen that be effective here in the clinic. That's the most that we usually use kinesio taping here. No one in our particular clinic is certified in it, but there's a course being offered in April, so I think we may be looking into that specifically. One taping method that I use is a Mulligan taping method. I use it a lot for like heel problems, plantar fascia, and also some kind of tibial motion problems as well, and I've seen great results with that. As far as knowing about the research behind it and things of that nature, I think there's conflicting research behind kinesio taping, but in a clinical aspect, it can be beneficial to patients, so it's well worth a shot. You know, I give it a try and see how the patient responds to it.
All right, so you're kind of, and you'll use it for certain things, but as a fix-all or a cure-all, it's not a good idea, or?
Cause I mean, right, I use it more as kind of an augment to therapy. A lot of times patients get pain relief with it so that they're able to perform more of their exercises, but I don't see it as like a fix. It can help, but there's other things that need to go on with it, like our strengthening and kind of our manual therapy to help, you know, make it a cohesive treatment time.
All right. That's what I try to tell the athletes. I go, yeah, I can tape your ankle and it's going to, you know, give you a little bit of support for the practice or game, but it's not going to fix the problem. The problem is, you know, right, instability or, you know, lack of balance, proprioception. But exactly. So you feel it. That's kind of the same thing.
Exactly. I totally agree. There's other things that need to work with it to make it more, you know, to make it worthwhile. So, yeah.
So is that something everybody in your clinic you said is going to take, or is it just something you're going to take there in April?
We're looking into it. Some of us need more continuing education hours than others right now, but I'm definitely looking into it. I can't remember when the courses are, but it's like a three-day weekend thing that would be interesting for me to do. Yeah, definitely.
Very cool. I'll have to talk with you after that and see what you think.
Yeah, for sure.
So, all right. So we are expecting I think I've talked with you about this already. We're expecting a grant. We have some of the video games in right now, but we just got an Xbox grant for all five of the high schools for the sports medicine programs, and so we're planning on using that for rehab. And then I know one of the schools or two of the schools have Wii's, and so.
How have you used video games as a PT?
Well, an outpatient where I am now, I haven't used it. We don't have that that here in our clinic, but when I was doing rotations in school and was in the hospital, we actually did use it quite a bit. We had a Wii, and it was really good for balance, like the proprioceptive input and kind of stabilization exercises for stroke patients. Even though they were in their 70s, they still enjoyed using the Wii. And even the younger kids, of course, they loved it. But balance was what we really focused on there. And it was great to have, you know, a visual thing that changed and evolved as they were moving. So it was really interactive instead of just, okay, we're going to stand on this foam and teach you how to, you know, balance more and give you more input. It was definitely more interactive, more feedback-based, and I think we got better results with that, using that. And it's more engaging, too, because there's a game and you're playing it, and as human beings, that's more entertaining than just standing there. So it was a great experience, and I enjoyed playing it, too, with them, so...
So for the balance things on the Wii, what did y'all just use, like Wii Sports? Did you have any sort of specialized program for balance training, or what did y'all do there?
Yeah, we just used the balance board, like with the Wii Fit, and some of those activities. I remember playing penguin games where they had to, you know, roll on ice and things of that nature. We didn't have a specialized equipment. I know there's some in development now that are really neat, that are looking to, you know, make it more physical therapy based. In conjunction with the Wii, but I haven't utilized that technology myself. But I know they're out there and they're getting developed, and they sound pretty neat.
All right, so any experience with the Xbox Kinect, either personal or professional?
Personal, yes. I love it, and I think it could be very beneficial in the clinic as well. And it's definitely fun to play with outside of work, too.
All right, so it doesn't have the balance board, and I know a lot of this, the majority of injuries are ankle sprains, and a lot of the stuff you do with ankle sprains are balance activities. So what are you, what are your kind of thoughts? I haven't actually, I've played the Wii, I mean the Xbox Kinect at Best Buy only. So it's, you know, for just a few minutes in whatever game they have on sample. So what are some of the things you think that could possibly do with the Xbox and the Kinect and the balance type stuff?
I think they could have similar games, like, I think it could work the same way like the Wii, because it, you know, it just, it follows your motion, so it would be able to determine, you know, kind of how you're leaning and things of that nature. Not really sure how the force differential with your feet, how that would be impacted into the game, but I think it could be used similarly as the Wii balance board. I would just seem to think that Kinect would be more high level because of the more plyometric stuff that I did, at least with the sports games. I'm not sure exactly all the games that are out there, but that's the one I did, like track and field and volleyball and things of that nature. But I'm sure there's some kind of fitness games out there that would.
All right, I know y'all can't really, if you're watching live, you can't really see Amber on Skype. You might be able to kind of see it on my computer and the camera, but it's not real good. But anytime she talks about balance, she kind of wobbles left and right. And so it's just, it's kind of funny for me to watch her. Yeah, she's kind of dancing on Skype there to illustrate what she's talking about. So, all right. So on that note,
what is your favorite type of patient to work with?
Oh goodness, you know, most of my patients are very, very awesome, and I enjoy working with them every day. I really enjoy, I guess you would call them like core patients with really, they usually present with low back pain. And they're younger, and basically what we work with them on is core stability and strength training in that regard, just so that they have proper alignment and proper position of like their pelvis and their posture is improved. And it's just amazing to see how they can get better so quickly with just exercises alone. But then there's also those patients that they come in and they are just painful all over. And you're able to, you know, use your hands and work on muscle spasms and you know, aligning their spine right. And it's and just seeing pain relief, you know, quickly or even taking a long time. And just seeing the effects of them feeling better is awesome.
All right. So when I was actually interested in physical therapy, and I did my observation when I was in college. And so I think one of the things that I learned during my observation was that I didn't want to have to be stuck in the clinic working with the total knee replacements, the elderly patients, that kind of thing. Yeah. I wanted to work with specifically, you know, the athletes or the younger type people. You said your clinic works with all of them. Are there PT clinics that focus specifically on that, or do pretty much all of them accept all clients?
There's more that specialize in certain areas. There's clinics that focus more on like sports rehabilitation. You'll see more of your high level athletes, you know, in the professional athletes. Then there's clinics that are more geared, like the aquatic physical therapy clinics that are more geared towards older, more geriatric patients. And we are kind of a mixture. We see everything from 5-year-olds all the way up to, you know, 90. I think our oldest was 98 years old, with varying problems, varying diagnoses in between. So from neuro to orthopedic, we see it all. It's been a very, very challenging environment, but it keeps you on your toes. So it's great here. We're not limited to a certain population. I do see my knee replacements. I do see my stroke patients, but I also have my athletes as well. So it's fun.
All right. So I know this one wasn't on there. What do you feel is your best area for evaluation? I know when we had talked a while back, you said, you know, you didn't feel real comfortable like with the ACL, or you hadn't just tested a lot of ACLs. What do you think your strength is?
I love shoulders. I find them fascinating. Whether it's kind of a labral tear, we got a rotator cuff tear, you know, just impingement, anything like that. That's something that I really enjoy working with. And I feel pretty confident with them, whether it's, you know, doing the evaluation, doing the initial testing, or doing the treatment process. I feel more comfortable with that than, like you said, an ACL, which I just haven't seen as much. But I'm getting more experience with that as I go along, and it's getting better, so just takes time. But shoulders are definitely what I love to do.
Very interesting. I think that's one of the things that's a little bit harder for me, and I think the most intimidating thing I have for me is back, low back. Okay. So it's always or you never really know what it is. It could be something that's been going on, or they slept wrong, or, you know, and mm-hmm. then a lot of these workshops I've been going to, they've been talking about spondylolisthesis or spondylolysis, you know, the stress fractures of the low back, and I'm not extremely comfortable with doing those evaluations or knowing for sure this is what the problem is. So mm-hmm. what do you think? You think you could do an online session of how to evaluate the back for us next time?
I could, and I'm actually taking a course here in April. I'm going to Nashville to take a course that's specifically dedicated to spine. So I could definitely impart some of that knowledge when I come back. That would be great.
Maybe we can set something up sometime where you actually, like, we get a live evaluation going on, and then we can ask questions throughout it. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, we can do that.
So we'll have to see if we can get it in this year. Would you say when you're going?
April 19th through the 21st, I believe.
Maybe that could be our grand finale for the year. We could have a live evaluation in the middle of May, or the end of May. So,
okay.
We'll put that in the works.
Jackson, do you have back problems?
My back hurts sometimes.
Mine does too. My lower back.
See, and so mine's probably because I slouch, because I have poor posture.
I was like, looking at this posture.
Yeah, you can see me?
Not you, but I can see some of them sitting out there.
Too. Yeah. Kaylin's the one in the pink. She's the one that just asked
she
that.
She can't see me.
She can't see you? Mm-mm. Okay.
No. I'm guessing
she's about to be able to see me.
Yeah, I think Daisy's going to switch it so you can see her.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, most of the time, I think it's because of core. But right. That's something that you have to train. So, it's not like you can just get rid of the back pain and then strengthen the core. You have to kind of do both at the same time.
Right, and a lot of times there's some pelvic malalignment too, like with the weakness you can get some rotation and that can cause definite pain and discomfort. So evaluating that, and that can cause some pain, treating that can alleviate pain pretty quickly too, but you've got to strengthen after that to make sure it stays where it needs to. So it's definitely a lot of strengthening, a lot of stabilization exercises, isometrics, and that nature.
Did you get all that, Caitlin?
Yes.
Why did I say Caitlin?
I don't know, but Caitlin. I'm going to throw a pin or something.
My sister-in-law's name is Caitlin. So I at least have an excuse. All right, so Dr. Lowe, do you use Twitter much?
I do not, no.
No? All right, well, on Twitter, I see some stuff about in California, there's schools that are hiring physical therapists as athletic trainers. Like, they're not licensed athletic trainers, but they're physical therapist, maybe doctorate or master's, whatever, physical therapy, to do the job that I do, which is the injury evaluation on the field and do, you know, the concussion management and that kind of thing. Do you think that that's something that is within the realm of what you're taught as a physical therapist?
Yes, I do. I think we definitely took courses, similar coursework with evaluating ACL injuries with, you know, if you have a shoulder dislocation, how we can reduce that and treat that. We did wrap ankles, although I'm pretty sure mine would be like 5 minutes now since I don't practice it. An evaluation as far as concussions go, we did talk about it a little bit, but it would be good to get a refresher on that. I think we have had training in regards to be able to do similar things that you guys do. But it would take a little bit of a refresher to get back out there, but I don't think it would be detrimental to the athletes on the field with a physical therapist assessing them. I think we, as far as the doctoral program goes, we're educated well to be able to perform that job.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, if necessary, that's all.
Yeah, I remember when I was in the clinic doing my observations, I learned a lot about evaluations. Of course, that time I was probably a sophomore in college, so a lot of it was over my head what all he was doing. But I think I could learn a lot from, you know, observing a physical therapist do an evaluation. Even though a lot of the times yours is 2, 3, 4 weeks after the injury, because
right.
You know, we're here on the field, we're here, you know, they get hurt, they come to us right now, then we refer them to the doctor, and then they refer them to you. This right. is the typical pattern, and so I think you guys might possibly have a more in-depth evaluation process than we do here in the training room, but I think it's probably, like you said, with a little bit of refresher or more specialized training, you probably could perform about the same job as I do here, huh?
Yeah, I think I just don't have practice with it. And like you said, the acute nature of the injury is slightly different. from what I'm used to. So it would just be kind of a transition to just the acuity of the injury versus seeing them mostly post-op as far as ACLs and things of that nature. But I think we'd be all right.
Yeah, so I think I'm kind of going with the idea of if we have somebody, either, you know, athletic trainer or physical therapist, hired to take care of the athletic injuries, then it's going to be better than nobody. You know, you may not have an athletic trainer available, but it's better than nothing. And so,
right, and I've seen some schools that have also physical therapists that augment, you know, the athletic trainer as well. So working in tandem just even makes it better. And, you know, you can learn other things from each other, which is great.
What is something new you have learned from rehabilitation that we can use in the athletic training room?
Something interesting that I learned in PT school that I hadn't really thought about before was, say you have a knee injury or an ankle injury, it's important to kind of look at like hip strengthening. We were drilled in school that, you know, making sure that hip abductors were strong so that your pelvis stays in alignment when you're walking. And therefore, you know, puts less odd stresses on your knees and your ankles. So the muscles work more appropriately. And there's less stress on, you know, the soft tissue. So making sure, you know, you check, you know, your gluteal strength is huge. And a lot of times in patients with knee pain and other lower extremity joint pain, we look at their hips and they are very weak. So that's something that I know you do exercises and things of that nature that might you either implement it now or it would be kind of cool to look at in the future.
Hip alignment, which said?
Hip alignment and like, you know, if you chest side-lying abduction, a lot of times people have, you know, really weak, you put a little pressure on it and their leg just falls down. And what that muscle does is, you know, it helps keep your pelvis level when you're walking. If that muscle is really weak, there's added, you know, stress when your hip drops. And that just puts a lot more force through your legs as you're walking. So
my knee hurts thinking about it.
Maybe you have hip alignment problems.
I don't know. But the way the weather is, it makes it worse.
You haven't ever had surgery on your knee, have you?
The same thing happens to me when it gets cold outside. I know because my knee starts hurting.
Oh, yeah. We always know patients are going to come in hurting when it gets cold outside.
So, yeah, usually that's with surgery or some sort of tear or something like that.
Yeah. Mine has, I think that mine has too much liquid in it.
I don't know.
Too much fluid?
Mm-hmm.
Have you had somebody tell you that before?
Mm-hmm.
Was it a doctor?
Mm-hmm. It could be. They said that it could be that.
I don't even want to think about having to get surgery on it.
All right, so talk a little bit more about the hip alignment. What are some of the things that you do to assess the hip alignment?
It's more of a strengthening than an alignment issue in that regards. So what I do is I'll have the person laying on their side, have them keep their top leg straight and lift it up. If they can't do that, I know that they're very weak. If they can, then you apply a little pressure right above the knee to see if they can resist your pressure. And that's basically testing the strength of the muscles that keep your hips in that alignment that we were talking about. If they're really weak, your hips will slightly, you know, drop when you're moving your legs during gait. So what we do is a lot of strengthening as far as standing abduction. We do extension and flexion as well. And then working on more core training too. That just helps keep things in alignment when you're walking.
You ever use the slide board or anything like that?
No, we don't have one here.
It just seems like that would be a lot of abduction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and single limb stance also is really good. We do things where we have a patient stand on one leg and then they draw the ABCs with the other foot on a ball. So they're having to stand on this leg for an extended period of time. And if you stand on one leg for long enough, you will definitely feel it in your rear end. So you know it's working pretty good.
There you go, girls. You can have a stronger rear end by standing on one leg for a long time.
Just doing squats, too.
Squat challenge.
I'm doing that in April.
I'm doing that. No, I'm already doing it.
I'm starting on April 1st.
Huh?
I'm gonna start on April 1st.
What is the squat challenge? You have to move up to the mic.
Okay, person. You like start with how many ever squats you can.
You start with 50.
Yeah, and then you just go adding 5.
Here, wait, I'll read it. Hold on.
Is it every day?
Yeah. Well, no, I'll tell
you.
Well,
every time you can.
I have it downloaded, my little.
All right, so Amber, Dr. Lo, while we're looking about the squat challenge, what are some of the things that they need to look at or consider for proper alignment or proper form for squatting?
Squatting, definitely. One major thing is not letting your knees go over your toes, because if you do, it's putting so much force through the front part of your knee. They're going to be sore, like especially if you already have knee problems going on. You want to make sure that you think about sitting backwards in a chair. I wonder if I can make my computer do this. Hold on. Y'all can see me, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. I don't know. We'll see. So instead of like coming forward, okay, you want to think about like sitting in a chair. That's going to keep your knees where they need to be so they're not forward over your toes. And you also want to think about standing up pretty tall. You'll see a lot of people, they'll slouch forward as they go down. You want to keep your tummy nice and tight so you can get a tummy workout at the same time you're squatting down. Okay? And those are some of the like kind of major things to think about. So you prevent your back from hurting and then your knees from hurting too. Because I've seen some pretty nasty form out there.
All right,
especially
so,
if you're going to be doing a lot, as you get tired, you're going to start, your form's going to start diminishing. So make sure you pay attention to it. And as you get tired, don't push it too hard because you will potentially hurt yourself.
Okay.
You got it ready?
Yeah. Well, this one is actually for April. I found it on Google because someone had told me about it and I was like, oh, I want to do it. So me and my mom are going to do it. And on April 1st is when you start and you do 50 and then this 50 squats and then the second, April 2nd, you do 100 and you go by 50s. And then after, whenever you get to 200, you start going by 5s. But you do it for 4 days, and then the fifth, you have a rest day, and then 4 more days, and then you have a rest day, and then 4 more, and you have a rest day. The highest day, like on the April 29th, you should be able to have done 300 squats.
That sounds a little unrealistic.
It sounds pretty crazy.
Is this just with body weight, or are they having you use any weight?
No, it's just with your body weight. Unless you want to use weights, but...
Yeah, no.
No. That's too much.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you did, like, you know, 15 in the morning, 15 in the afternoon, and, you know, 20 at night or something like that, that 50 wouldn't be that bad.
No. That would actually be a better idea, almost.
Yeah.
Because you would fatigue out so quickly. I would be worried.
There's another one where it just does... You start off, like, with 50, and then you just go by 5s the whole time. You just go 55...
All right, so if you're doing that, one way to practice, like she was saying, is pretend like you're sitting in a chair. So if you put a chair, like, right behind you, so you just stand up from the chair.
Do it on the wall.
Touch your butt. And then also, on way you can keep your toes, if you put your toes up to the wall and then you squat down, if your knees hit the wall, then you're going too far forward. So it's a good way to learn or practice to make sure you're not causing more problems, like she just said. So.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Sometimes you can also use like a stability ball or, you know, one of those squishy balls you can sit on behind your back in the small of your back and use that on the wall too. Kind of helps you keep your chest up.
All right. So while we're talking about squats, a lot of times I'll have especially the girls, but sometimes the guys too, squeeze a volleyball between their legs while they're doing the squats to keep them from like wobbling left or right. What do you think about that?
I love it. I do it all the time. Definitely great. You know, research shows that gets the VMO activated. That's great. And, you know, it also just makes those muscles function in a much better way than going all over the place. So, yeah, definitely a great idea. I use it here for sure.
All right, very cool. And is there any point to where you say, okay, well, I don't want you to use this because I don't want you to not strengthen those muscles on your own? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think it comes a point where you can kind of see it when they start. You can kind of just tell as their strength progresses. You don't need to use it as often. I just watch them, and if they're still pretty wobbly, I put it back in there. I just don't think they're quite ready to do it without any ball to squeeze. I've also done a band around the outside, so they're kind of forced into abduction too while they're doing squats. It also keeps them in the in the same plane, but using abductors instead of adductors.
Yeah, we did something we were working out, and I think they had to, y'all, remember when y'all wrapped the TheraBand around your leg and you had to step sideways?
Mm-hmm.
We did that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what she was talking about there. So you have to hold your leg still by pressing out. So
while doing a squat, yeah. Exactly.
All right, so while we're talking about squats.
What are your thoughts on body weight workouts versus free weights?
I think they can be, you know, both beneficial. I personally myself do a lot of body weight, high repetition things because I'm more of an endurance athlete, so that's something I feel is good because it gets a lot of my core, it gets all muscles working in different facets, and I enjoy that personally. As far as a really good workout, I think a good combination of free weights and body weight is really acceptable. Here in the clinic, we use mostly TheraBand and body weight resistance exercises. For those higher level athletes, we will use free weights. It's important to make sure that the form is proper when utilizing, you know, both mechanisms. So, you know, I think in the right light, you can use both. And me personally, I use a lot of free weights. I mean, I'm sorry, a lot of body weight exercises that I found to be really effective in training for marathons and things of that nature. Which, on a side note, it's huge that if you're a big runner, to make sure that you do your strengthening. Your strength training. A lot of runners tend to, you know, put that off and say, I'm just going to go run, you know, 12 miles or whatever. But it's really important, and you'll see great benefits if you do core strengthening, lower extremity strengthening, as well as upper body. It really can increase your speed and your endurance. So that was a little side bunny trail, but yeah.
Well, no, this is all about you, Amber. All right, so so tell us about, you know, we get kids, our soccer kids or our track kids, coming in here with, you know, I have pain on the outside of my knee. And typically, if they're doing a lot of running, we think, you know, IT band type stuff. And so what are you kind of, you know, since you are a runner, what are some of the things that you do to keep, like, your hip flexor or IT band loose and stuff like that?
Yeah, my favorite thing is the foam roller. It's painfully awesome because it compresses, you know, the fibrous nodules on the side and just lets it loosen up. We use that here in the clinic too. We've got plenty of people who have been walking, you know, they've had pain, so they start walking differently and everything has to compensate. So their IT band can get insanely tight and insanely painful. And one of our treatment methods is using that foam roller on them. They hate us that day. They hate us. But it feels better after. So one thing I use is definitely the foam roller. Hip flexor stretches are huge. Runners are notorious for tight hip flexors and pain in their hips. So I stretch mostly after I run. I've read research that's better than before when the muscle's cold. So I like to stretch after running. I do a couple different hip flexor stretches, but yeah. And there's some IT band stretches as well that can be beneficial for those people with lateral knee pain.
So what do you do for IT band after you run, or you just kind of avoid that one and then do that when you're at home with the foam roller?
Yeah, or kind of bring your leg into adduction and lean into it.
Yeah.
That gives you a little bit of stretch there. So putting both those together has really prevented some knee pain that I had experienced before.
Yeah, we just are ordering a couple of foam rollers. We've been using we have flexi wrap that we wrap ice bags on, and they come with this cardboard thing. And so we've been saving those, but they're not, it's hard to do with the leg because they're not really big enough to.
But
it works, and the kids do show discomfort, but when they continue to do it, it shows progress. So that's good.
Yeah, it's a great thing. Who knew foam rollers could be so awesome? But yeah, it provides a lot of relief after. Usually about a week and a half, we see patients with a little bit more relief when they come and see us 3 days a week.
All right, so we're talking a little bit about running. If someone was interested in doing like a half marathon, but they don't run currently. So, for example, me and my wife, we have been discussing doing like the 5K color run kind of thing.
Fun run. Got to do it, yeah.
What are some of the things that you, as an experienced runner, would recommend you know, personally and as professionally as a physical therapist, for us to do to work into, you know, the smaller runs.
Right. One huge thing is shoes. I'm an avid, you know, supporter of making sure that your shoes fit you properly. I would advocate for, you know, getting an assessment as far as, you know, if you pronate or supinate your feet, getting shoes that are going to help you land neutrally is something that I've found helps me a lot. And I promote that to my patients and my personal training clients that I had previously as well. So shoes is a good start. And then also starting kind of small. You don't have to go out there and run 3 miles. You can also do run-walk programs. That way, you know, if you're not used to doing any sort of activity in that facet, it's going to get you slowly adjusted to it. It's not just going to put your body straight into the stresses of running on concrete and things of that nature. One thing to keep in mind is if you do a lot of running in the neighborhood, that the roads are sloped. So make sure you kind of don't run just one direction the whole time, because it's going to put some funky stress just on one leg that's not on the other leg. So that can cause some pain just from running on a beveled road.
So you're saying run in the middle of the road?
Not necessarily, but sometimes sidewalks are better if they're not bumpy and cracked. Or, you know, if you can safely, you know, find like a track or something like that to run on unless you get bored. I like to find, like, the trails around downtown are always what I love to run. And there's plenty of running trails and greenways around Houston. I'm not sure exactly what you have down there. But that's what I like to run on, because it's a little bit more of a even surface, or you can go both directions. And therefore, you know, the even stress on both sides of your body.
All right. So shoes, properly fitting shoes. And then you said start small.
Yeah, start small. You know, if you haven't run in a long time, I would implement a run-walk program, whether it's, you know, run for 2 minutes, walk for three, or, you know, just finding kind of where your comfort zone is, but then push it a little bit as you progress. And each week, you know, make it a little bit harder or more long or more running time versus walking time, or start slow. You know, don't run quite as fast.
Very cool. I think that's great advice. I got to make sure my shoes fit well. We'll have to buy my wife some new shoes. I'm sure she'll be disappointed, right?
Yeah, the 4-year-old shoes to go running in that you mow the yard in. That's just asking for something to happen.
I agree. Sarah is listening, Amber. And
oh, really?
Said, yeah. She said, I think you guys talked together, because she said, you hear that? That means we get to buy all new shoes, so.
Oh, you're welcome, Sarah.
See, this is my wife's friend, so they may be texting each other right now while we're talking, and Sarah's trying to work in some ploys to get her some new shoes or something, but.
So. No, never, never.
All right, well, you guys are talking about the squat challenge. Y'all have any other questions about any of that stuff?
Where do you think you need to feel it mostly when you're doing a squat? What muscle groups should you really feel it in when you're doing a squat? Do you guys know?
Your legs.
We just talked about it. What part of your leg?
Your thighs.
Your rear end.
Your rear hamstring.
All right, you're pointing to the right muscle. You're pointing to the hamstring. So what do you think, Dr. Lowe? Is that correct?
I mostly want you to feel it in your glutes, because that would mean you're more.
Because we did in volleyball.
Yeah.
So definitely feel it in your quads, which is, you know, that part of your thigh.
Dude, I had the best legs in volleyball.
I did. Me too.
You had the best legs in volleyball?
Yeah.
Was that an award that was voted on?
We had to like jump and then go like that on the net, like to touch the top.
Oh, you're saying when you were playing volleyball, that's when
No, and our workouts too. Damn.
It was always
we did
squats,
everything, especially
always.
In the summer where we had to do the, like, we had different, like, stations where we would run outside, we would work on the net, hit, and then do a bunch of stuff.
And then the weight.
Oh, and then in, like, middle school, I was in the best shape because we did more there than here, but they made us sit on the wall, and then, like, we had to cheer, and it was horrible.
So that
was the time of my life, yeah. Worst, less best time of my life.
All right, so Dr. Lowe, real quick about plyometrics. So she was talking about like jump training and stuff like that.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? Like during season, or should that only be preseason or off season? Or
I'm plan for mostly kind of, you can have a lot during preseason, and then intermixed throughout the season. And postseason, definitely just calming down, relaxing, not as much, you know, high intensity training, because you have put your body through a lot going through the season. So kind of calming down toward the end would be what I would advocate for. But definitely preseason is a time when, you know, you're getting geared up, you're jumping around, you're moving a lot. So I would definitely implement plyometrics there, and then moderate to minimal throughout the season, because you're doing a lot of, like, I'm thinking football right now, you're doing a lot of stuff on the field, you know, already. So, yeah.
All right. Very good. So any other final questions about the squat challenge, about anything else related to physical therapy?
That 5 foot thing you were talking about, is it the color run? What is it again?
All right, Amber, have you run the color run before?
Yeah.
All right, will you tell Monica or anybody else listening about the color run?
Yeah, I did the color run, I guess, when was that? Back in October, November? And it was, this particular one was at Reliant Park. And basically, what you do is every mile, so it's a 5K, 3.1 miles, you go through a different color. So the first one was blue, and they throw this blue powder at you. Mm-hmm. And just make sure you keep your mouth closed, because if you swallow it, it's kind of not tasteful. Anyway, so you get covered in blue, then you run a little bit longer, and they spray this powder on you that, you know, it's orange, and you just look really awesomely colorful by the end of the race. And then they have a powder throw at the end where everybody just kind of gets together, and there's powder thrown up in the air, and it's a blast. If you like to get a little dirty and have fun and run, it's definitely worth it. Although you can walk it too. I've seen many people do that.
Or
if you want,
walk,
I can send you a picture of how nasty I looked after.
Yeah, you should. If you get a chance, send it to us, and I'll show them what you look like.
Okay.
So, I know you could go and Google color run right now, and you know we could look it up and see. But
yeah, it's fun. It's definitely worth it. And it's only a 5K, so if you haven't run before, it's a good one to start with. So it's a blast. Get a group of people together, you'll have fun.
My mom did a run like that, but it was a mud run.
Mud run.
But those are fun too.
I forgot exactly what it was called, but it had a lot of different, like, station things. Like, on one, you had to get over the wall.
Was it called Warrior Dash?
No.
Warrior Spartan Race, Mighty Mud Dash.
I don't remember.
They're fun.
But, yeah, my mom and her team did it today. It's pretty cool.
Her roller derby team? Mm-hmm. Kaylin's mom is a roller derby player, so.
Oh, wow. Yeah, the hardest race I did was the Tough Mudder.
Oh,
that was rough.
Was it that one? No. Yes, I think it was that one. I'm not sure.
That was tough.
Okay, well, I think that's going to be about the time that we have with these kids. I think what we're going to try and do is we're going to look and see if maybe Dr. Lowe can perform in a low back evaluation for us towards the end of May, and give us some tips and kind of show us how that's done. And we'll see if we can make it work. If not, then maybe next year. So,
thank you, guys.
Any final thoughts from you, Dr. Lowe?
Good luck on your squat challenge. Be careful. If your knees start hurting a lot, don't do quite as many, okay? Okay.
Yeah, got that. Okay. Agreed. All right, so we're going to go ahead and, if you don't have anything else, Dr. Lowe, we're going to go ahead and hang up with you, and then we'll close it all by ourselves.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
All right, Kaylin, so it is now your turn to...
Okay. Of course, we have to mention the people who help support us. Greater Houston Athletic Trainers Society for sponsoring CEU Opportunities, Pasadena ISD Education Foundation.
And then, of course, Dr. Lowe for being our special guest. She took time out of her patient schedule today to meet with us. So, Kaylin, did you get any words of wisdom?
Be careful.
So what's something you learned today?
To be careful whenever you're working out.
All right, so what about squats? Since you're going to do the squat challenge, what's something you learned?
Don't let your knees go over your toes.
Fantastic. That's excellent advice. All right, so on that, if we're going to want to contact us, you can check out the sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. You can watch live most every Wednesday, and then there's all the information on there. You can email us from there. There's a link on there to the Twitter, Facebook, Google+, but Kaylin's going to go ahead and give you those.
Follow us on Twitter at PHS Sports Med, Google+, Sports Medicine Broadcast, Facebook.com/PHS Athletic Training.
And then there is that app for Android if you want to download that and listen to them all there. But we're also on Stitcher and Blueberry and all these other, basically anywhere you get your podcast, they're probably on there. So if you want to download the app and do it that way, you can, or just whatever podcast site you use, do that too. So for Jeremy, Crystal,
Daisy,
Kaylin,
Monica,
Leslie, Priscilla,
and the rest of the sports medicine class, that's a wrap.